Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of the Haji. It is November 28th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. And I welcome everyone to the show tonight. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And it's also a great pleasure to have the leader of this very ancient teaching with us, Sri Kadaji, who is the Mahaji, the 973rd living Sarosha master in an unbroken line of masters. Sri Kadaji, welcome to the show this evening, and how are you?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
Yes, I'm doing well. Thanks very much. Well, we're going to talk about this teaching, the basic fundamentals for people who have been who are just tuning in for the first time, as well as going to some other aspects, deeper aspects of the teaching for people that might want to hear that aspect. So, Sri Kadaji, with that, maybe we could talk a little bit about how this teaching came to exist.
All right. I think that it's an interesting question because it's a fundamental question. However, ACOTA has always been in existence, but it just isn't public at times. That's why sometimes it's called a secret teaching, and that's an ironic factor because it's always secret even when it's public, because only 1% of the population have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. In other words, 99 out of 100 make it stay in the realms of being mysterious or secret. You see, they just don't have the awareness to comprehend it. However, right now we have that 1 in 100 ready souls that come to the teaching of ACOTA, which is the ancient science of Sahaji. Now, the higher Sanskrit words we use, like ACOTA and Mahaji and Sahaji, sounds like poetry, right? And it is in a certain way because it is the song of the individual in terms of the highest language. But it's a language of vibration. It's a language of when children are first born, they're speaking a language, and then sometimes the native languages of logic historically pretty much ruin the beauty of that higher Sanskrit. But there's a reason for that. We call it the lower worlds of the physical, the astral, causal, and mental planes. Those are the four lower planes that the teaching of ACOTA helps the ready soul to negotiate through them to gain spiritual liberation on the fifth plane. That's the most important thing we have to remember, is that spiritual liberation is a prime objective for the individual that comes to the path. And that means a membership in the teaching, which is completely free. There's no strings attached in terms of monetarism. We don't sell the books. We don't sell seminars. And you'll find that, again, everything is completely free. Therefore, our motive is pure for that ready soul that is now able to be spiritually liberated to gain the fifth dimension, so to speak. Now, in other words, they can negotiate now through those four lower planes. And those four lower planes are vast, because anybody that's even studied any physical science will note that sometimes the physicists think that the physical plane is virtually unlimited to be infinite, but it really isn't. It's finite in the lower dimensions. In other words, the physical plane will go up to the astral plane, and it has millions and millions of stars, like Carl Sagan would have said in the past. And that issue means that there is a limitation there. But what ACOTA brings to the table to explain that there's different vibrational levels, for instance, the physical plane will be buttressed up against the astral plane, which has a higher vibrational level, and an exponentially higher, one exponent higher. So you're talking about from the physical plane to the Satnam, the plane of the fifth region, as I said, Satluk, is actually a vigintillion kilometers. It would be 10 to the 63rd kilometers. There's actually a measure. There's a distance that's measured. Now, we don't have to be concerned with that physicality, so to speak, because we're talking about Sahaji, and each individual will learn Sahaji once they come to the path of Akata, which is the out-of-body experience. And most people that are listening this evening at least have had a dream state experience. A dream state is really an out-of-body state, but in higher Sanskrit it's called Svapna Sahaji. When Svapna means different in higher Sanskrit, it means it's a different time for one to be traveling outside the body. Now, what we teach in Akata is we teach that the essence of each soul, each individual, is what is the light and sound. It's the sound current. The sound current is heard as sound and seen as light. So when we see the light, we're actually seeing the sound. And when we hear the sound, we're actually hearing the light. It's the twin aspect of the spirit that we call the Sarosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A, which is another higher Sanskrit word, which we use because they have uplifting or higher vibrations. That whole idea is the vibrational upliftment so that actually we can move towards the fifth dimension, the fifth plane. We call them the planes of the lower and the higher worlds. The fifth plane is the first plane of the higher planes, and they're unlimited. But we explain 10 planes on the path of Akata because we have the first three goals. And maybe you'd like to talk about the first three or the major goals in Akata, the three major goals. So, Leslie, if you would do that, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Our first goal is actually self-realization. That doesn't happen until somebody has navigated through the lower planes. Which means they have to go through the physical, astral, causal, mental, etheric, which is the top part of the mental plane, and then they reach the soul plane. Now, the soul plane is the first level of pure, positive God worlds. So there's no matter, energy, space, or time on the soul plane. So that fifth plane, we gain self-realization, which means that an individual is really getting the true recognition of who they are as soul, the true understanding of that. So there's no questioning anymore of who we are, where we're going, what's happening, what am I going to do with the rest of my lifetime, and what is going to happen after. We've already answered many of those questions on the way, but when we get to the fifth plane, we have full confidence of who we are as soul. So it's a true connection to ourselves in the spiritual sense. Now, the next goal is God realization, which happens when an individual finally reaches the eighth plane. So here an individual is doing the same thing, but they're getting a recognition of themselves as soul in relationship to God, and we use the higher Sanskrit name of Akshar for God in Akata. And so we're gaining that recognition of who we are in connection to God. We're also starting to understand of what we're going to do in the higher worlds, whether we stay on the physical plane or whether we translate to the inner plane at some point. And there's a choice there because an individual can live for an extremely long time if they want to do that, if they want to go in that direction. Now, when a soul finally gets to the 10th plane, that plane is the plane of spiritual mastery. So that's our final goal. And obviously we become spiritual masters and we have a greater understanding of ourselves in the universe. We have jobs that we can take within the universe, whether that job is teaching at a temple of golden wisdom or that job might be something that we're doing here in the lower planes on the physical plane as well. So this is our final goal, spiritual mastery. So there's a total awareness on all levels at this point. So with spiritual mastery, it's something that one can achieve in this lifetime, and there are already many spiritual masters on this path. So we're not necessarily a path of followers. We're a path of showing people the way to their own spiritual mastery, which is within them, but it's gaining recognition of themselves as masters. Sri Kadavji, I'll hand it over to you to add anything you might like.
That was very well done. I appreciate that. And since Leslie's a spiritual master in her own right, then I think it's probably pretty easy for you to explain that, correct?
Well, yes, I've been a master for quite some time now, and it's really a joyous position to be in, a joyous opportunity, and I do want to mention that even though one does become a spiritual master, it doesn't mean that's the end of everything. We're continuing to unfold. There's always more that's happening because it's infinity. It's a continuum of spiritual unfoldment. So that's what makes this path very interesting and exciting, because we are experiencing more every day on all levels.
Correct. What I was wanting to mention, maybe we can do this, is to talk about the Hue chant, which is real special, universal mantra that people can use to raise their state of consciousness and also tune in to their own sound current, which is real important, because we talk about Akata as the experience or experiential path that one can actually experience herself as soul in the sound current. That's very important, because you'll find other teachings are just really about logic and a bunch of talk, and they will point directions and language, but they really don't understand the sound current. There are some light and sound paths, but they don't put as much attention upon it as we do in Akata. In other words, they're mostly into telling stories about leadership and things of that nature. At the same time, anything that's positive is very good. I'm not here to denigrate any other path, because there are some very positive things going on within them. At the same time, we consider Akata the only path to liberation, the most direct, and that usually loses a lot of our audience because they think it's a hubris or audacious statement. And that's all right, because it's not for everybody, as we now know. And that means that the ready soul, anything we say this evening is not a riddle to them or he or she, because they can get it. And it's not a state of argumentation, it's a state of agreeability. And I always say there's agreeable types and disagreeable types, and the 1% are very agreeable because we're speaking the truth. You see, and speaking the truth makes it stimulating and very easy and uplifting at the same time. That's why I said the 99 of 100 will consider this a bunch of hooey, and they are not in an area to catch the wave of the truth in terms of it. In other words, what you were saying a little while ago, as a spiritual master, we have total awareness, because we all have that. To be able to articulate it is what the spiritual master does, plus the self-realized soul at the first goal in Akata also has that silver tongue of speech and confidence, because that's what self-realization is. Once you know thyself, there's no trapping in the rhetoric that they speak. They become what is known as a sat guru. And the guru is one who has the golden experience of realization. That's why even in the term guru, golden experience, the golden wisdom temple, I'll say. And they're able to teach. They become the teacher. That's what we are here. We're exceptional teachers because we speak the truth. That turns off people because they're not used to someone that has answers in speech. See, they're not used to people that are speaking synthesis or the logos. They're usually dealing in antithetical individualism or the pathos of the Greeks, ethos, pathos, and logos. See, so it's pathological for most people, and people know that. So they kowtow to nonsense, if you will, or circular arguments that keep them in the lower worlds because they're controlled by the key god of Genesis, which is the Kal Naranjan of the fourth plane. People often wonder, well, why would you allow the lower worlds to exist if you're the spiritual master? Well, that's up to the Akshar, the divine it, the neutral or cessated power of the universe that we call the God force, the Godhead. That's not up for me to decide. In other words, the lower worlds exist because God wills it, you see. And therefore, my responsibility is to teach in the lower worlds, to be representative of the Akshar. That first representative is the titular leader of Akita for a temporary basis. In other words, the tenure is anywhere from, it's been a couple days to almost 300 years. So there's a real range of tenure there, and it's not really important other than the fact that we know this position is temporary and it's not a dictatorship. In other words, it's not some hero or messiah or savior. It's a one-time gig and they're out of there. See, that whole business of messiah and savior means they prop up somebody as the hero of humanity or the savior business. And what are they saving them from? Well, negativity. But that hasn't anything to do with spiritual liberation. If you're saved from negativity, it doesn't mean you're liberated from negativity. It's just put off for another time when you're faced with it without anybody to help. That's where the ready soul that comes on the path of Akita, it now has a protection living Sarosha Master on his journey to mastery. You see what I mean? Because the other paths don't teach mastery, they create followers. As you were saying earlier so eloquently, they create followers. We do not create followers. We create leaders, and we create these opportunity for those three major goals that are very real, and they happen. You see, and that's the beauty, is that because you and I are both self-realized souls and God-realized and spiritual masters, again, the 99 are put off from that because they can't believe it, but we've had the experience. See, that's the interesting part. By having the sound current experiences and traveling within to achieve these goals, they are very real to us. Maybe not to somebody else, but you know as well as I do, Leslie, you can't be shaken from your pedestal as a spiritual mastery. Impossible. Because that's your place to be. That's your minaret or your citadel, your bastille, or your great place of the deus, of the spiritual master. That's yours. No one else can be there. See, so that's an internal situation. Yes, it's true that masters fall in history, but that's a paradox in itself. And it's not really the basic fundamentals, because anything is possible, but it's very rare. And when spiritual masters leave this path, and we've had a few leave, they become a tag name, the Rogue Master, R-O-U-G-U-E, the Rogue Master. And there are a few out there, I won't say
me,
that.
I believe it's R-O-G-U-E.
I did say that, I think. But that's okay.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah. That's all right. I think it's R-O-U-G-U-E. I think I did say it. It doesn't matter. The point is, the Rogue Master is a problematic individual, but that's something that we decipher. We teach people to decipher when there are issues, and it becomes really simple to know. See, the knowingness within us is the key to all this, because everyone knows who we are. Whether they can get to it on their own, that's an entirely different story. So when people are with us presently, even for the people that are new tonight, will get the message now. But when they go away, the other engrams or lower world problems, the karmic bundle, we haven't talked about karma yet tonight, that everyone that comes into this lifetime has what is known as a karmic bundle. They have a karma from many, many past lives. They have a lot of imagery that needs to be resolved. And as that result occurs, reincarnation takes place. In other words, when one has these images that are not resolved, it'll create a future lifetime. It's like a pod body. They had some funny movies years ago about it, but it's creating a future body to come back into it. It's not resolved. The resolution is the path of Akita, that one can resolve all their karma once they step onto the path. That means that as soon as they become a member, their karma ceases to be created, and now they start working off their karma, practicing dharma, on that very instant of the decision to become a member as a student under the living Sarosha Master at the time, their karma is cessated. That's a powerful statement in itself, isn't it, Leslie? I think it's wonderful, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And now they start
practicing
Dharma and working off their karma. See, they stop creating karma. So that's a real critical point of membership. Because people say, why should I be a member if I'm aware of these things and hear you speak? Well, it's up to that individual to cease their karma. See, and that's the critical decision to make, really. It's a critical decision to step onto the path to cease one's karma production. And it's very interesting that we, again, each week we add something powerful wisdom that comes from the Akshar, the ocean of love and mercy. We get a drop of that. We see it like the genetic code is really a ball, like a water ball. And then you have the language of it that circulates it, like a circular discussion in terms of it. So we get that each week. And I think that we're fortunate to have that wisdom. And then I always say the irony is only 1 out of 100 can get it.
But that's a lot of people if you're thinking about how many people exist in the world.
Well, in the earth, there's 75 million ready souls out of 7.5 billion people. Mm-hmm. And that means that they're ready presently, that 1%. The most that we could get, even at the outset, the most would be 10% of a certain population. But that people say, well, that's very ambitious. And I'm saying I'm not ambitious. It's just the facts and the matter of the 1% that are ready, that when we appeal to them, they come. We've got about 2,000 or 3,000 members presently, and it's been slow. Again, we've been public for 26 years. There's no big rush on this whole thing, but the presence or the public display of Akita in the public being present or when it's public is not necessarily rare, but in terms of it staying public is a matter of the people themselves. I mean, we don't always teach publicly the living Sorosha masters of the time because for instance, we're in the Iron Age presently. We're at the very beginning time of the lowest cycle, but we're fortunate that we even have 1 in 100 that are ready. It could be 1 in 1,000. At the very lowest times in the Iron Age, it's 1 in 1,000,000. So that's practically underground because it's pretty negative. Right now, it's really, there's 99% negative, but it sounds like a lot, but it could be 99.69s there in terms of the 1,000,000, 1 in 1,000,000 type things. We're actually pretty fortunate presently. And at the same time, having said all that, the numbers are not that important. The most important number is number one, the one that's listening today, who the ready soul is. Maybe they're listening, and I would recommend to download the intro book, read it, take some time, and pour over the language in it, maybe do the daily contemplation. What's our time like? We probably should do a huge chant here.
Yes, just real briefly, it's about 6 3/4 minutes, but
okay.
I wanted to say they can get that in that intro book on our website, akita.com. They can download the intro book for free and any of the other materials as well. Okay,
right.
Yes, we can do a brief contemplation. Did you want me to leave that, Sri Kanasi?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so this is basically a shortened form of when we do our 30-minute contemplation, which we'll do on a daily basis. But what we're going to do is sit comfortably, feet flat on the floor. We can have your legs crossed in tailor fashion, Indian style, if you prefer. But be relaxed. And when we're doing a contemplation at home, we want to be in as quiet a place as possible. It's very important. We close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths to relax, and then we place our attention on this third eye, or what's called the tizzertil, the spot between the eyebrows just above the bridge of the nose. And so I'm going to do that right now, and then we're going to chant the word hue, which comes from the 10th plane, and the plane of spiritual mastery, HU, and it sounds like this. Hue. Hue. Upanishad, which means may the blessings be. Now, when we're doing contemplation at home, we can chant for a short time or a long time. The main thing about chanting the word Hue is it's of such a high vibration that it's going to completely dispel any kind of negative vibration in the area wherein we can gently focus on Sraosha, which we hear as a high electrical sound. If we're hearing this high-pitched electrical sound, then you're tuning into spirit, and that's a very good thing to do. You might also see a light during your contemplation technique, a white light, a yellow or white light from the higher planes, or there are different lights in the lower planes as well. And if you're seeing a blue star, that's the inner master, the blue star of the Mahaji, and that means he's standing there for your protection, your guidance, and he's there ready to be called on if you want his guidance. So, of course, you can have a very, very vibrant, vivid out-of-body experience. You can go into the temples of golden wisdom on the inner planes. There's many different types of experiences that you can have. But that's a short form. We start with a Hue, do that for a few moments, and then we're quiet with our attention on the Tisratil at that point. Sri Kadavji?
Yes, and the idea is the feeling of the Sarosha, that after you did that huge chant, if you actually felt a palpable energy, that would be, you could identify it as a Sarosha, which is very palpable, identifiable in terms of one's feelings. So that becomes very important, because sometimes people that come on the call and do the huge chant may be experiencing it for the first time in this life, which is very exciting, very ecstatic to hear the sound current. Maybe they won't openly admit that, but when I first heard it years ago, it was very fascinating and a blissfully uplifting experience. And so that's what's very important, is that we don't condemn people's feelings or emotions. Quite the contrary, it's something that people learn to use in an uplifting way and know that it's just fine, just the way they are. We don't expect people to change. We just expect people to seek the higher levels of consciousness. And then they know that they're doing that once they step onto the path. I mean, that's the idea, is to step onto the path and then send one's energy to the higher levels instead of being dissipated somewhere in the lower regions and being lost. Once you step on this path, now you're not lost any longer, that you've now found the true way, the true direct path. And we have those four definitions of a science, teaching, path, and way. And it's not a religion, it's not a philosophy, not a cult or an occult teaching. It's not a New Age teaching of any kind. We don't identify with New Age teachings, and it's not definitely not a religion, albeit we do talk about God, but no one has an exclusive on God, not even Akashic. We have the name Akshar that we use, but God has many, many different names, but we consider Akshar the highest vibrationally approbated name presently by the living Sarosha Master, that we use the word Akshar. Okay.
Thank you, Shikaji. I'm sorry to abruptly come in like that, but we have about 45 seconds left, so I do want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. We welcome you to look at our website. Everything is free. If you want to download the books, or if you've been listening and you think you're ready for membership, that's free as well. You'll see all the information there. Especially warm thanks to you, Sri Kadavji, for being with us this evening. I do appreciate your great words of wisdom and enlightenment, that you always share with us, wherein each show is different from another's. It is yours to end, Sri Kadavji.
Since you can't see me, with my right hand raised, palm facing outward, I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak Abishad.